Arthur Hastings at the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology in San Francisco. About 12 years, they sent a crew out, or a couple of people out to my place to learn how to do this, and they took it back to their place, and they're having tremendous success with it. So this really does work. And in many of the cases, the people will tell us that they see the image of their departed loved one forming up in the mirror, but then the image actually seems to emerge from the mirror, come right out into the room with them. About 30% of the subjects will tell you that they actually seem to hear the audible voice of the deceased. Almost all the rest of them who don't say that they actually hear an auditory sensation will nonetheless tell you that they have heart-to-heart or mind-to-mind communion with the person who has died. And this is all wrapped up in a sense of reality. In other words, these people are awake, and by and large, they experience this visitation as a real event. Notice that I didn't say that it is a real event. I say that from the perspective of the subject, it's a real event. They actually say that they feel the presence and see and communicate and be in the presence of the person who's died.
And that's the most important thing. If they feel this,
that's right.
That's that. To me, it works.
That's right. Because what it seems to do, George, is that it seems to help people through grief. That was one of the great, one of the big reasons why the ancient Greeks apparently used this to, they would go there if they were grieving the loss of a loved one. As Plato tells us in one of his books, he says that many people went to these oracles of the dead in the hopes of unions to rejoin their loved ones that they were grieving for.
Assuming it works, Raymond.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can.
How
say
does
that.
It work?
It does work.
Okay. How does it work? Why does it work?
Now you're into an area where, George, I just don't have any idea. I have done this, and I gotta say, I just don't know what that was. I don't know what that was. It really seemed like my grandmother. It really did. I heard her voice. I felt her presence. I just don't know what to tell you that was. And I am a genuine skeptic in the sense that I just don't draw conclusions. I mean, why do you need to draw
conclusions? It takes a while, but once you go, you go.
That's right. And so, but what I'm impressed by is that generally the people I bring here and take through this procedure, they don't say, you know, I thought I saw or I had this image. They say, I was with my husband or wife who passed away or whatever.
Do you have to go into this environment wanting to deal with a specific entity? Or do you just go in there?
No, okay. No, I don't believe you do. I set it up that way because, as far as I could tell, that was how the ancient Greeks did it. But at least that's how it appears in Homer and in Herodotus and so on. So that's why I started doing it that way. But actually, I've had a lot of people come by who don't have any particular person they in mind that they want to see, but they come here on a more general, just like sort of approach of seeing what happens or seeing who comes through. But George, even the people who are prepared by talking about one particular person they want to see, in many cases, some other deceased person known to them, in addition to or rather than the person they prepare to see, comes through. So that seems to suggest, as you talk to these people, that you don't necessarily get what you wish in this situation, but that you tend to get more of what you need. In other words, people say, in reflecting on it, they say, well, you know, I came and prepared to see my husband, but probably the person I really needed to see more was my father, and so that's what happens. So it doesn't really go along, you know, necessarily what people would want, as to rather what the psyche seems to need.
Can any of us build this kind of area?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, George, this is so amazing. I mean, you know, to me it's just so amazing all the things that were common knowledge 150 years ago, say, are now relegated into the, you know, into this realm that they seem absolutely extraordinary. If we were propelled back 150 years in time into the United States, everybody knew about this. It was a folk custom, and I have some old Halloween cards, for example, from about 100 years ago, where this is portrayed. People looking in mirrors, and they see the spirits coming up, and so on. I don't know if you happen to see that movie Cold Mountain, a couple of years back, with filming of the Odyssey, in effect, but set in the context of the Civil War. And they show this, and there a young woman looking into a well and through a mirror and seeing a spirit come up in the mirror. But this was just common knowledge.
Okay, give us the schematics again for this, Raymond. How do we build this?
Well, first of all, the first rule is, don't worry too much about how many inches this way or that way or exact measurements. It's more of a situation of getting a comfortable environment. You can take a closet in your house or a little room, just sort of drape
the windows
with dark cloth.
Okay, and the windows have to be covered.
Or, you know, at night you can put shades on the windows. Probably best to do this in the evening when things are getting a little quiet. You just put a mirror on the wall. The one I use is about 4x4, but it doesn't have to be any particular size. It's a good thing to use a size of mirror that will occupy a pretty good portion of your visual field. You can use even a very small hand mirror, but the images won't be.
And you sit in front of this mirror, totally dark.
About, say, 3 feet in front of the mirror. Get a comfortable chair like a recliner so you can push yourself back. Get, if you use candlelight, be sure to be very, very careful, obviously, not to start a fire. But if you want to avoid that, you can get a lamp with a maybe like with one of those Tiffany-type lampshades or something, you know, that makes mutes it a little bit.